We are in the midst of a crusade as I speak today. As this message comes to you, we're in the midst of a crusade over in Butere in Kakamega County in West Kenya. And so I ask for your prayers for that specifically today, that we could have many, many come to know the Lord Jesus, that many would be saved, many would be healed, many would be delivered. And so if you keep that lifted up in your prayer today, it's the last day of the three-day crusade in Manyala Village in West Kenya. Well, today we're going to be taking up part two of dealing with addictions, and I urge you to go back and listen to last week's message and take in part one to give you a background, a foundation for what is going to be taught today. But if you have your Bible there in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." The effective, fervent prayer, or some of the scriptures, some of the translations say that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so we have an opportunity to confess that we have a problem, and that is step one of receiving healing. And I think all the 12-step programs start at that place. You have to recognize that you have a problem, that you have an issue, that it is out of control, that you can't control it yourself. You don't have the willpower. If people have the willpower to break free of addictions, the drug treatment and alcoholic treatment centers would be out of business in a week. But people don't have the willpower. They can't will themselves out of these situations. They can't just pull up their bootstraps and jump in their boots and take off in a new direction. It's not that simple. It's a spiritual battle. It's a battle with the enemy who wants to kill and steal and destroy. John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I came to give life and to give it to you abundantly." And so step one in dealing with your addiction is to confess that you have a problem. And that means that you open up to somebody that you can confide in. You open up to your husband, to your wife, to your pastor, to your elder, to a brother. The Bible says that men sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron. And sometimes it's very good and very healthy and very encouraging to just humble yourself before a brother or a lady before her sister. Humble yourself and say, "I have a problem in this area. I have a problem with pornography. I have a problem with alcohol or drugs or whatever." Just open up and confess your problem and confess that you need help. And so it says, if you confess to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Well, if you confess to someone that you know is a strong believer, if you know somebody has a strong walk with the Lord Jesus, that is the best place to go. It's great to confess to just believer or maybe a brother who doesn't have a strong walk, but if you can find one that is living an exemplary life and living a strong life for the Lord and is doing good things and lives a clean life, that is a good person to go confide in. That is a good person to join, and they will join you in the battle, and they will pray for you, because the Bible says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, pastors, we hope and pray, are all righteous men, and they strive to be, I know. And so if you go to your pastor, most of the time, even if you don't have a pastor, maybe you don't even go to a church, but most of the time, I would say virtually all the time, if you go to a pastor and ask them to pray for you and ask them to lift you up and encourage you and give you some wise counsel, most all of the pastors are more than willing to do that. They're more than able to do that, and they will pray for you, and the effective, fervent prayer avails much. In other words, when you ask a man of God to pray for you, a lot can be accomplished. A lot can be accomplished in terms of turning back the wiles of the evil one, in terms of deliverance, in terms of encouragement and setting people free. And so we thank the Lord for the pastors out there. We thank the Lord. I can't tell you, not to boast, but I can't tell you how many times over the years, literally thousands of times, people have called me. I had a store business there in the hometown for many, many years. I took people off the streets. I took people out of jail. I took people off of probation. I took people on mission trips that I didn't even know. And I did a lot just because I believed that God could heal them. I believed that God could strengthen them. And I believed that God could set them free and deliver them. And so when you seek out a man of God, when you seek out a righteous man and he prays for you, then that availeth much. And so the second point of seeking help, the second point of your battle against addictions is to submit to prayer as you seek help. Submit to prayer, because prayer is the link to your Creator. Prayer is the link to Almighty God, to Jehovah God, the God who heals us, Jehovah Rapha, and he is also the link to our peace, Jehovah Shalom. And so when you link yourself through prayer to your Creator, then you've opened up an avenue, you've opened up a portal into your soul, into your spirit, from your Creator, from Jehovah God, Lord God Almighty. And so that is how the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, in James 5:14, James offers some very practical experience or practical advice here that is very good for people dealing with addictions. Let's start in verse 13. If any is among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. In other words, if you're down, if you're discouraged, if you're depressed, if you're in despair, and things aren't going your way, maybe you've been battling a certain addiction. I know pornography, sexual addictions are just as insidious, maybe more damaging than drugs and heroin and all that kind of stuff. And so you need to pray when you're down, when you're suffering, when you feel like the whole world is stacked up against you. You need to pray. You need to find brothers and sisters or pastors to pray with you. And James says, let him pray. And is anyone cheerful, let him sing songs. Well, that's good to worship the Lord God and worship and praise and be thankful in all that you do. I personally have a testimony of being set free and being delivered from addictions. At one time in my life, it dragged me down to a point where I didn't even know if I wanted to live. I despaired of life, and I had very little hope for my life, but God has turned me around. God has set me free and broken all those chains of disappointment and discouragement and despair off of me. And the scripture says, he who has been forgiven much loves much. He who has been forgiven much loves much. And so Jesus was talking about a prostitute who came to him, and the disciple said, well, you know, why are you letting this prostitute waste all of this precious oil, all this valuable oil, and waste it on your feet? Jesus says, she broke the alabaster vial and broke it and put it on his feet and wiped his feet with her hair and her tears. And Jesus said, the person who has been forgiven much loves much. And so, beloved, that is the story of my life. I have been forgiven much, and so I love much. It is a motivational factor in my life. It is a motivational factor in me going out and preaching the gospel. I have a great gratitude. I have a debt to pay to my Lord and Savior for loving me, for saving me, for picking me up out of the miry clay. And I believe if you're in that place where you have addictions that are running your life and possibly ruining your life, maybe even taking you to the point of suicide thoughts or suicide actions, and you are a place of despair and discouragement, you need Jesus Christ. You need somebody to come and pray with you, and you need to give the Lord a chance to heal you and set you free. And when you do, you will be singing psalms. You will be singing songs of joy to him, as well as all the others who have been set free by the Lord God. I was at a meeting a couple of years ago in Kansas City with Todd White. I encourage you to go to YouTube or onto the internet and Google Todd White. He was a man whose life was a life of rock and roll and guns and drug dealing till he was about 30-some, maybe 38 years old. And by some very powerful encounters that he knew God was speaking to him, he knew God was setting him aside, and he knew God was consecrating him to come to him. Very powerful chance encounters that were not coincidental. God was setting him up to reveal his power to him. And Todd White has a powerful, powerful testimony, and he travels the world now because he who has been forgiven much loves much. And Todd White goes all over the world sharing the gospel, witnessing what Jesus has done for his life, how he turned his life around. And it's a very, very dramatic testimony, very powerful. And so I encourage you to go look that up on the internet. Well, verse 14 in James chapter 5, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Well, beloved, this not just talking about sick as in pneumonia or cancer or arthritis or some other type of illness. Addictions represent some type of sickness in the soul. They represent some type of deep-seated anxiety or deep-seated disease in the soul, discomfort, disease. Many times the foundations of the disease, many times the foundations of the addiction have been with the child, been with the person since they were born. Maybe even some had curses spoken over them when they were in the womb. And so they don't understand the nature of their addiction. They don't understand the motives and the power behind it, that the devil has come against them with curses, generation curses, maybe curses spoken over their family going back many generations. And so sickness is not just physical body sickness, but it includes sickness of the mind. Many people have dementia. Many people have Alzheimer's. Many people have all kinds of mental illness, instability, emotional instability, schizophrenia, all kinds of emotional and mental instability. And so there's many kinds of sickness. And so what James is saying is call for the elders. Let the godly, righteous men of the church come and pray over you and anoint you with oil, or anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Well, there's no magic in the oil. It's not a magic thing. There's not a genie in the bottle that they're pouring out of the oil bottle. The oil represents the power of the Holy Spirit. The oil represents the anointing that is coming through those elders. It is coming from Jesus Christ and Jehovah God, the God who heals us, Jehovah Rapha. And so the anointing that comes through that oil is representative of the power of God, the anointing of God, the Shekinah glory, the weight of God. And when they put that oil on the person and then they pray for the person, then the prayers of those righteous shall avail much. And then verse 15, it says, the prayer of faith will save the sick. That isn't not in terms of salvation, in terms of we confess Jesus as our Lord. That's not what they're saying. It's saying that the saving of the sick, it will set them aside from debilitation and malady and spirit of infirmity, all those things that the devil throws at us, all kinds of sicknesses that try to take him down. And it says the Lord will raise him up physically, raise him up spiritually, emotionally, raise up his soul, restore his soul. David prayed, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters, and he restoreth my soul. So David's soul had been crushed, his soul had been damaged, his soul had been defiled by some of the things that he had done. He had committed grievous sin. He had committed grievous transgressions against God and against his fellow brother, whose wife David took And so there was a soul defilement and a crushing of David's soul. And so David was very remorseful. He repented. He had great sorrow. And God restored him, and he restored his soul back to a place of good standing, of clean conscience, back with the Lord. And James finishes up that verse 15, and he says, if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Well, many sins are manifested as physical illness, and some obvious ones are HIV, which is associated with sexual immorality, fornication, homosexuality, sexually transmitted diseases. Of course, we know lung diseases are very prominent in people who smoke cigarettes. Liver diseases, very common with people who are addicted to alcohol. And on down the line, methamphetamines has a whole list of physical addictions, a whole list of physical problems that manifest when you get addicted to methamphetamines. The teeth rot and the nerves are shot, and many physical problems arise. But James says if he has committed sins, the sins will be manifested, the sins will be known. You confess your trespasses to one another, and he will be forgiven. The Lord wants to forgive you. Jesus said that if you come to me and you repent, that I will forgive you, that as far as the east is from the west, I will forget your sins, and I will hold them against you no longer. He will even forget them. He does not even remember them. And so the forgiveness of our sins comes when we come and we repent and we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Well, the deeper issues I have mentioned, the deeper issues, even people that are addicted, they recognize, they know that there's things that they can do to improve their life. They know they need to seek the Lord. They know they need to go in a different direction. Proverbs 27:12 says, a prudent man sees evil and hides himself, and the simple pass on and are punished. And so when you are in addiction and you can't seem to help yourself, but you know in your spirit, in your soul, in your heart, you know that this is evil in you, that it is destroying you, and even worse yet is that tomorrow may be worse than today, and next month may be worse than today. And so if you're in that place with your addiction, with pornography or drugs, or you've been smoking pot for many years and you know it's starting to scramble your brain and you know you need to get out of it, it says a prudent man sees the evil and he hides himself. In other words, you get away from it. You hide yourself. Where is the place that you can hide yourself? Well, you can't go to your friends. You can't go to the same people that are doing the same thing that you are, that are smoking pot or shooting up or watching porn. You need to hide yourself in the shadow of the wings, in the shadow of the wings of the Lord God Almighty. He who hides himself in the shadow of the Almighty will abide under the shadow of his wings. And that's Psalm 91. And if you know where to run to, if you know where to go to hide yourself, Jesus Christ will be there for you. He says, I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. And you can rest assured, beloved, that Jesus cares about you. He cares about your addiction. He cares about your tomorrow. He cares about your yesterday and your next year. And he does not want the devil to destroy you and take you out of your destiny and to end your life, which is what the devil wants to do. He wants to destroy you, and he wants to take you out of your high calling and your destiny. Well, James 4:4, more practical advice from James. He says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity, or in other words, separation or dissension with God? Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Beloved, if your focus is just on the world, I know we have to have jobs to pay the bills and keep the electric on, but if your friendship with the world is all you care about, your earthly friends, your earthly walk, your earthly bank account, your earthly car, your earthly boat, whatever, if that's all you care about and you have no spiritual life, you have no walk with the Lord, your life is lopsided, it's out of balance, and you're eventually going to pay a big price for that. I had a guy call me a few years ago, and I had counseled him for a while after he got out of prison, and he was working about 60 hours a week so he could have three cars and a motorcycle, and his wife could have a car or two, and they had ATV vehicles and all kinds of stuff, and a house that had a big mortgage on it. And I said, what kind of a spiritual walk do you have? Do you have any kind of a spiritual walk? Because in the prison, he never missed the service for about a year. And he was studying the Bible, he was praying, he was coming to the worship service. But when he got out, his life became just a treadmill, and all he cared about was buying things, trying to fill up that void in his heart by buying more stuff, keeping more stuff in his house, paying the big mortgage on the house that he couldn't afford. And all of this stuff was just running him to ruination. And he was exhausted. He was tired. He was turning to drugs to try to keep himself jacked up so he could get up each and every day and go off to work. And so the Bible says, friendship with the world is enmity or separation with God. Therefore, whoever wants to be friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you not think that the Spirit says, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Well, back to verse 5. Do you not know that the Spirit in you yearns jealously? What that means is God has put the Spirit in you, the Spirit that you were born with, the Spirit of man, and that was created by God for you specifically so that you could relate to God with that Spirit. You can receive from God through that Spirit. And even more than that, when you become born again, when you become a child that is born again, then your Holy Spirit then also becomes a counselor for you. The Holy Spirit becomes an advocate for you. The Holy Spirit becomes an intercessor for you. And the Holy Spirit will tell you the truth in all things. And in the situation where that brother was working day and night to pay for stuff he never even used because he was too tired and didn't have time to use it, beloved, the Holy Spirit would counsel him and was counseling him. Beloved, the counsel from the Holy Spirit was saying, get rid of some of this stuff, slow down, spend time with the Lord, spend time talking with the Lord, spend time in worship. And when you do that, when you spend time in worship, you spend time in prayer, you spend time in fellowship, you set aside one day a week to be with the Lord and stop the rat race, stop chasing the almighty dollar that are vanishing faster than you can get a hold of them. When you do that, then your spirit that yearns jealousy within you, jealously within you, that spirit then is in cooperation. It is coinciding with the Holy Spirit, which says you need to honor God in your life. You need to take time to honor God. And so verse 7, therefore submit to God. Well, the answer to submitting to God, the answer to addictions, is submitting to God. The answer to submitting to God is to humble yourself before the Lord. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you are struggling with addictions, or if you know somebody that is, just pray for them that they would be humbled, that the Lord would send his angels to war over that addiction, that they would be humbled, that they would bend their knee and get down on their knee and cry out to God. God can help you. If you're struggling with addictions, maybe you've been in an addiction for 10 or 15 or 20 years, smoking cigarettes or drinking drinks every night before you go to bed, or pornography or whatever the addiction is, I tell you today, God can break it. God can strengthen you. God can remove that from you. He can break every chain off of you. Heck, and he can restore to you everything that the devil has stolen from you and taken from you. And he can do it, and he can do it in his own time and in a way that will encourage you, strengthen you, and you will move forward in your walk with the Lord. Well, beloved, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite you to join us. We invite you to support this ministry, not only for the radio broadcast, to keep it coming each and every Sunday, but also for the projects. We are moving forward with our children's home project in Mumias, Kenya, and we're going to be taking in children within 30 to 60 days. And so we're looking forward to eventually filling that house with 30 to 40 orphan or disadvantaged children. And so we invite you to be part of that project. We invite you to also help support the Crusades. We're preaching a crusade, as I spoke this week, in Butere, Kenya, and we're going to be going back to Burundi in June, Tanzania in August, and other places, possibly here in Kenya or in other places around the world, possibly to Congo. We have many things in the fire right now, many irons in the fire, and the Lord will be revealing where He wants me to go as the days go on. But we invite you to be part of this kingdom project, Gather the Outcast Ministry. We invite you, sit down, write us out a check of support, drop us a line, let us know that you're listening, let us know you enjoy these broadcasts, and we will be forever grateful. We love to hear from you. Put in a prayer request or several prayer requests, and we can pray with you as we receive your contribution. Well, thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.